us! What we do in life echoes in eternity.
I mean, this is what's wrong with the Christian church today. We don't know who God is, and we don't know who we are.
This is where we hold them. This is where we fight.
Officer, you need to repent of your lawless conduct. You don't know the law, and yet you pretend to represent it. That's not law enforcement, sir. That's being a thug.
We will not stop fighting and bothering you all until this monstrous, barbaric practice of legalized abortion ends. And we are teaching our children to do the same.
God's word says that the shed blood of innocent humans cries out for justice, and mark my words, they will have their day in court.
Nobody gets saved by being treated nicely. They get saved by hearing the gospel. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. If we don't open our mouths and commend Christ, we're not loving them, no matter what we're doing with our hands.
Well, welcome to episode 2
of
Provoked. With my name's Zach. I'm one of the elders at Apologia Church. This is my beautiful sister, Desiree. How you doing, Des?
I'm doing good.
You got some good news today. You want to tell everybody what happened?
Yep. We found out that our third baby on the way is a baby boy. So we're super excited about that. And we've already named him. His name is Knox Zachary, after his uncle, Mays. So that was a blessing, of
course.
What
an honor. Yeah. I'm such a schmuck, why?
Yeah,
it's weird to have somebody named after you, you know?
Yeah.
But that's awesome.
No.
Did you know it was a boy all along, or did you think it was?
I did.
He was a boy?
Yes. I kind of went back and forth, but my initial thought was I feel like it's going to be a boy. And I'm actually 3 for 3 for all three of my kids. I guessed right in the beginning. So, yeah.
Right on. Praise God.
I know. Praise the Lord. I did. I was kind of going back and forth, though, because I was super nauseous and stuff. So I was like, oh, well, and I wasn't nauseous with my firstborn, my son, Liam, but my second, Ember, I was nauseous. So I was thinking, well, maybe it is a girl, but nope, it's a boy. So we're super excited.
Oh, boy.
And then you
got
some news today, too.
Yeah, we had our ultrasound. My wife thought we were going to have twins. Like, just seriously thought we were going to have twins, which should... Yeah, it would be amazing.
Yeah.
To have twins, but no, she just sent the ultrasound. We're going to have a little baby something.
Yeah.
We don't know yet. But the due dates of the two kids are probably going to be really
They're close, huh? From what me and Jess, well, from what the date she sent over today, they're a week apart.
Wow.
So.
Could be on the same day.
Could be. Your baby could come first, so we'll have to see. It'll be a race to the hospital.
Right, because your baby's always came on time or after.
Yeah.
No, 40 weeks, right?
Liam came right on his due date, and Ember came a week before.
Really?
Yeah, but How about Jess? She
Zoe, our firstborn, she's 17 now. She was late, and I can't remember anything. So, but she was like 3 or 4, maybe a week late. But Preston was 3 weeks early.
Mm.
So I don't know. It could be the same day. What if it was the same exact time? And
that
second?
Would be crazy.
Yeah.
The same exact time in second.
All right. So it's our second episode. What we wanted to do was to have somebody come on and debate us, but it didn't happen.
Yeah.
And we tried.
We were like trying to pick fights on
Facebook. Pastor Jeff's messing with me right now. I can't even focus.
Well, it's funny because remember you had posted something about, you were out at the mill. And remember that lady said, what did she say to you? Remember the post that you had written, and then it was like trollstice on your page where like they all came on your page.
Yeah. So it was the mill and, I can't remember what the lady said. I'm just drawing a blank.
I remember.
Yeah. You can go ahead.
You were there. So.
But... Yeah. So she says... I say, ma'am, we want to help you. What we typically say, can we help you? Can we give you, you know, whatever you need? We're here to help.
Yeah.
And she said, will you adopt my baby? Mm. And I said, of course. You know, we'll adopt your baby. We have families in the churches or in our church that will adopt your baby. Of course we would. And she seemed so sincere.
Yeah.
And then she said, no, the baby's gone. already. So it was just, you know, kind of
wicked,
adding insult to injury. So yeah. it was pretty wicked. And so I just posted that, and yeah, it got shared, I don't know how many times, 500 times. And then all the trolls and the pro aborts came out of the woodwork. But what we wanted to do, so I just kind of want to fill you guys in on exactly kind of the format of Provoked. I mean, the whole purpose is to provoke the church, the brothers and sisters, right, to preach the gospel, to get out there and rescue babies, and to dismantle cultural idols.
Right.
Dismantle, and like we talked about in the first episode, not people, not attacking people, but attacking idolatrous ideologies and just the worldviews that are opposed to Christ. And that's a command of God. So what we want to do in the show is we want to bring people on to debate, to have respectful, meaningful conversations, so we can see the worldview, and then we can, for lack of a better term, I guess, attack that with the word of God,
right,
in order to dismantle it, because that's the command, so that the truth would shine. That's what Paul would do. I mean, when he was provoked by the idols, he confronted that with the power of the gospel and the power of God's word.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we're working to do. So what we wanted to do was get out there and say, hey, if you're pro-choice, pro-abortion, come on our show. We'd love to have you. And I think we had maybe 10 or 12 at least people initially say, you know, I'd love to be on. And
yeah,
so you contact them, and then they block you.
Yeah. Well, I think what happens is, like, they're like, okay, well, what's the podcast? We don't have any of ours up except for the preview as of right now. They're still being edited, but I think they go on Apology or Radio,
mm-hmm,
and they see Pastor Jeff out there, and they go, oh, just kidding. They don't want to do it. And so it's just funny how brave they are behind a keyboard, which, you know, a lot of people are, but we're like, hey, just one of you. I mean, there were literally like hundreds on your page and nobody would do it. They're like, they just don't want to have a rational conversation, like,
yeah,
just a dialogue back and forth. You know, they're super brave behind the keyboard. They'll type and, you know, throw all sorts of insults at you, but when you go to corner them, you know, it's difficult to find somebody that wants to actually just talk. So
yeah,
I'm grateful we found two people that are willing to talk, because it's not like we want to have them come on and just like beat them up. You know, we want to actually just have a respectful conversation. We don't want to just gang up on them and talk over them. I mean, that would be pointless, but we do want to engage them, challenge them. Obviously, the most important thing, share the gospel with them.
Exactly.
And just let our listeners know, maybe they've never gone out. Maybe they're praying about having this conversation with a loved one, and maybe this will equip them or help them.
Right. And I think you hit the nail on the head there. Number one, we want to, in obedience to Christ, dismantle these conversations, ultimately for his glory.
Right.
Number two, we want to equip the church. I mean, that's, we've always had that the cry of our heart, just right, to come alongside of the church, be helpful. I appreciate that about Pastor Jeff so much. He's always like, I hope that was helpful. Because
right,
I know it's always in his motive through everything we do here to help,
right,
to come alongside. And so that's the whole goal of this podcast, and is to share the gospel. So hopefully people can click on this as the weeks and months, you know, Lord willingly, roll out, and it will be helpful for them to know how to navigate argumentation, know how to right, effectively share the gospel, know how to do it well. So that's what we're all about. I think we're coming to the understanding is that we're going to have to go to them. And maybe we should have known that before,
because right,
what we had thought about was, hey, let's just base this show or this podcast on bringing people on with all differing worldviews, SJWs, Black Lives Matter, of course, pro-aborts, whoever may be, people of different cults. They can come on, we can talk to them. But
yeah,
I think we understand we got to go to them.
Yeah.
You know, we can't expect, and it's the same deal with biblical evangelism.
Right.
You know, I think we've been sold to this wrong biblical methodology of that, you know, they will come to you. And that's just not the way it goes. And we're called to be fishers of men. You can't expect the fish to jump in the boat.
Right.
You got to go to them.
Right.
And so I think that's what we're going to work on doing. We're actually going to do it today. So we're going to film in this episode, then we're going to go to a Trump rally, which should be crazy.
Yeah.
So we can go to them
and
have meaningful, hopefully meaningful conversation. And then we'll bring that back and let you guys see it. And then we will, engage with the argumentation at that level. So I think that's going to be the basic format of this show, is us going to different locations, engaging different people in their worldviews, and sharing the gospel with them.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I know that in my walk, that's just blessed me so much, from like Living Waters to, I don't know, even just watching recently Jeff talking to some, you know, pro-abortion advocates outside of the Capitol. And this was recent, and I was watching it, and I feel like it's just another way for us to like sharpen one another. And as I was watching it, I just felt like super convicted, because here he's been doing it for over a decade, and he just had this love and compassion and sincerity. In the moment, though, you can feel just so fired up and angry at the situation, but we always want to keep that love and compassion. Same with Ray Comfort. You watch that guy, he's been doing it forever, but we went to Comic-Con and he was down there a couple years ago, and he was talking to people, and you can genuinely see that he loves them. Like, it's not fake, it's not for the camera, he loves them. Same with Pastor Jeff. I just was like, man, that is such an important element to all of this. It's not just, you know, going out there and doing it. I mean, going out there and doing it, and knowing that we don't have to be perfect and eloquent and all that, of course, but just keeping that in the forefront of our minds is our motivation of why we're doing it. And it's because we love them.
Yeah. And it's so crucially important. I mean, what you just talked about, especially those two individuals, Pastor Jeff and Ray, I've thought about them so many times, and just their ability in the moment to actually love the people. And you can hear it coming out of them.
Right.
Not only in the precision of their theological understanding and
right.
and their capability of communicating truth, which both of those men are just one in a billion type of people.
Oh, right. Yeah.
But what stands out for me is the self-control
right.
and the love. And I think what we see is that God has blessed these ministries because of that.
Right.
You know, the Bible says if we have love, we're as useless as
if we don't have love.
Sorry, if we yeah. don't have love, we're as useless as a resounding gong.
Right.
It's just a big gong that you gong, and it has no purpose.
Right. And it's not, we don't want to be like a fake type of, you know, well, you know, or a cold duty, well, I'm called to love you, so I'm not, you know, no, like a genuine love and concern. And like you said, you can see it in both of them,
that yeah.
it's not contrived. It's not just for the cameras. It's, you know, true. And it comes, that's a gift of the Holy Spirit, yeah. you know, so.
And I think it's just so providential that you're even bringing this up, because, you know, we're related, mm-hmm. and I think it's going to be a chore for us, is because you and I, we get it from our family. I think both yeah. on both sides of our family, we're scrappers. Mm-hmm. We're just fighters in our personality. If you yeah. kind of come at us, we will innately just come at you.
Right.
So what I think and we'll work on it as we go, is just having that love and not talking over people and not get baited into some, you know, overly emotional exchange that's sure. not self-controlled. I think you and I will definitely have to work on that.
Yeah.
Because we tend to err on the, you know, just getting so fired up
yeah.
and passionate, you know, you're not as collected. I'm not saying you.
Well, no, I mean, this is something, to be honest, this is something I have to work on daily as a Christian
right.
in my walk, not just doing evangelism, but in other relationships. I have to, you know, pray that God gives me the strength to turn away from the sin of pride and, mm-hmm. you know, wanting to be right. And so, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's gonna be an adventure. So, the good thing, and I don't know if I clarified this well enough, we looked for a long time for the past couple of weeks for somebody to come on the show today, which we're bummed nobody could.
Yeah.
But just last night, you know, hours almost or half a day before the show started, we actually got a woman from Australia, and she's going to be on our next program. And then we got another woman that we had actually initially contacted who never got back to us, and she's going to be on.
Yeah.
So the first one, I think her name is Kristen,
mm-hmm.
and she says she's unapologetically pro-choice.
Mm-hmm.
And I've read some of her stuff. She's no mental slouch.
Mm-hmm.
I hope it's going to be a really good back and forth, and it'll be good for us just to get our feet wet as far as having meaningful conversation.
Yeah. So, I'm super thankful that she's agreed to do it.
Right.
And I think, you know, even though I'm like, I'm surprised that they wouldn't, I could see where it'd be intimidating. You're stepping into somebody else's arena, you know, so I'm thankful that she's agreed to do it. Hopefully she doesn't back out.
Yeah. So pray for her if you guys would, because we're praying for her, and we do want to address her position. And basically she's just going to defend her position, and we're going to dismantle that position, but also share the gospel with her.
Right.
And let her know about the love and the hope in Christ.
Right. Because this podcast isn't just about abortion and mill ministry. It's about provoking Christians to action, to go to the mills, go to the legislator, bring the gospel into the public square, bring it to your unsaved family and friends. You know, just, you know, it's not going to be a single subject podcast. So this is just one area that obviously is very important. Like we talked last time, this is the great evil of our age. So this is a hill we will die on. I hope that we don't have to spend the rest of our lives fighting for this, but I will. And I know you will too.
We will. And sometimes we, as elders, we fantasize and imagine moving on to the next issue.
Yeah.
Which, wouldn't it be amazing?
Yeah.
Can you imagine that day when, well, however it happens, I mean, I don't believe there's a federalist solution to the end of abortion. I think we see that because, especially just the history of politics and the presidents we've had House majority Republicans, and we've had, you know, they've had it all. They had the House, the Senate, they had, you know, they were dominated the Supreme Court, and they didn't do anything about it. So there's not going to be, I don't believe, a federal solution to abortion. The feds are the problem.
Right.
So that's why on a state level, we need to defy the feds.
Yeah.
We need to, you know, the government was set up with a system of checks and balances to where if they go outside of their jurisdiction of authority, that the states are supposed to put them in check. But the states don't do that.
Yeah.
Because the common song is, whatever SCOTUS says, we shall obey.
Yeah.
And that's the big reason why abortion continues to exist and babies continue to die, is because we've not interposed.
Yeah, we have to be like the abolitionists of old, you know, and do like the fugitive slave law and defy it. It takes just sometimes a small little spark of somebody standing up. That's why, you know, you went to Oklahoma. I want to hear about that. But it's just so encouraging when you start to see courage build up, and it takes one brave person sometimes, like Senator Silk, to stand up, and then that emboldens other people, and these little, you know, fires start coming up. So just pray that catches on. But tell me about Oklahoma.
Yeah, so we in Abortion Now and Apologia Church elders, Pastor Jeff, Pastor Luke, and myself, and some other people from Apologia Church, Nick Thomas and Dusty Marshall, we all went out there. And you know, it's all
the Hendricksons.
The Hendricksons, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and they're amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's.
I want to talk about Tiffany.
Awesome. Yeah. We went out there. It's just it's an answer to a call, call to come out, to join in a collaborative ministry efforts with Free the States, head up by Russell Hunter, who's just an amazing brother.
I really think that he will be in history books when this is all said and done, for the amount of work that man has poured in to this issue.
He's just incredibly talented and gifted, and I think the world of him. But he has done so much groundwork through Free the States, Missionaries of the Preborn were out there, Operation Save America, Apologia, as well as the Ecclesia of Oklahoma.
I wanted to be there.
Yeah, I know, it's pretty amazing. So we all come together for the Abolition Now conference, and it was just a really congested schedule, but it was congested with, you know, top-notch abolitionists, you know, kind of, I think that really represented the core abolitionist movement in the nation. You know, the different ministries just coming together in Oklahoma. And what did we do? We were there to go to the state capitol on Abolition Day, which was February the 11th, and to tell the state legislators, it's a simple message. I mean, it's not, none of this, I think, is too overly complex conceptually, theologically, politically, whatever it may be.
Right.
It's just calling them to do their duty.
Right.
Right. Their duty is to protect their state's inhabitants, their city's inhabitants. And so they have to abolish abortion. And SB 13 is a no compromising bill that criminalizes abortion as if it were first degree murder and or homicide, and provides equal protection for the human outside of the womb as well as the human inside of the womb.
Right.
So it's a no compromise bill. Hey, let's end abortion. The sad thing is, who opposes these abolitionist bills the most?
Pro-lifers.
It's pro-lifers.
Yeah.
And I don't know if we want to get too far into the weeds, because what we want to do, and we as elders have been talking a lot about this, is that we want to redeem that word pro-life.
Right.
We want to bring the pro-life movement along with us and allow them to see the light of the air in it. And I think what we, how we accomplish that is not by, with vitriol, attacking individual people, even though we must take that, that horrible political methodology that they employ, or their overall, the pro-life industry's overall methodology in abortion. We show where it's full of holes and it can't hold water. But it's one thing to tear apart constructively a methodology that's fruitless and does not, I mean, come on, it's, we, babies are dying still.
Yeah.
I mean, ultimately it's not working.
Right.
You know, any, we're saying we're not going to be happy until there's no.
Right.
Babies dying. Just like you had pointed out last episode. We're not, you know, you can't be happy with 2 or 3 year olds getting sexually trafficked.
Right.
And or sorry, you know, 11, I forget how you explained it. We can't.
I think that was Jeff.
Jeff. Right. We can't be, you know, it's okay to, you know, sex traffic 2 to 11.
Right.
But 11 and upward, it's okay that they'll be scot free. We would never put up with that.
You're insane.
Yeah. It's just, it's an incredibly compromising way to go about it. It's unprincipled.
Right.
And God's not going to bless anything that's, unless it's based upon the principles of scripture, that we're doing it his way, to simplify it. We're going about it in a way that honors him and that honors his word. When God deals with sin and when God calls us to repent, it's not repent incrementally.
Right.
It's now. Jesus says, forsake, or the scriptures say, forsake your sin.
Yeah.
Jesus says, hey, if your right arm, causes you to sin, cut it off.
Yeah.
I mean, it's an immediate, urgent, you know, necessary action towards it. And so that all being said, it is just an amazing movement going on within the greater abolitionist societies around this nation, and there's so many bills of abolition. I can't remember all of them, but I know it's Oklahoma, Texas, Illinois, Alaska. So all of these states are beginning to present these bills of abolition, which is exciting. There's this groundswell of activity within the church. It's all really based out of the church. There's just this groundswell of momentum, and we're just hoping that by God's grace. And as I was just kind of saying before, it seems like an impossible task. It, you know, from our perspective, it is. This is, it has to be God gifting this to us. It's got to be God gifting us legislators that will man up and do their duty and vote for a bill like this. But I'm excited to see what happens.
It was exciting to watch it, you know, just on the live stream and stuff, and just to see the ruckus that was being caused, you know, and just the amount of people that were there, the amount of Christians and families that traveled from all over the nation to come together, because it's so important to for this event. And so, yeah, it's exciting to see people like Senator Silk stepping up too, because I do think that's going to really embolden other people, other legislators, to do the right thing.
He's just an amazing guy. He's only 33 years old.
Oh, really? Wow. Yeah, youngin'.
He's such a mature guy, but he's just such a hero already
of
the faith, and a man that will be willing to take the shots.
We're just so used to hearing from, you know, our own city council, like, you know, like Councilman DeCiccio, he's pro-life. Everybody's just always like, oh, what do you expect me to do? I can't do anything. You know, it's all this, you know, just double talk. And it's really cool to see someone actually standing on the word of God.
Yeah, somebody that's really representing what true Christian manhood is.
Right.
You know, willing to sacrifice. One of the emotional parts when he got up to speak in front of a crowd of, I think maybe, they were saying 2,000 to 3,000. I don't know, maybe it could have been.
It looked like a ton of people.
Yeah, there was
online.
A lot of people, and they kept on coming in even as the rally started. But he started out by thanking his wife.
Yeah, I noticed that. That was great.
It was just such an emotional moment, but you know, just saying I couldn't have taken the shots unless it was her, which was just amazing. But he's right. I mean, if you get up to that level of being a senator and taking the bold biblical stand, no compromising, I'm going to take whatever pain I have to save these babies. Yeah. It is going to come with a cost.
Yeah.
It's going to come with persecution and hatred and vitriol. But it's worth it.
Right.
It's what, and I love, I just was talking to Pastor Jeff yesterday about this. God did not call us to comfort.
No.
He didn't call us to just sit idly by and, you know, focus on how we can just be as comfortable and surround ourselves with the pleasures that this nation has to offer us. You know, that's, it's such a temptation, especially within our context as Americans. I mean, you just go down the street and get whatever food you want or watch whatever show you want. So it's such a such a temptation to kind of acclimate to comfort. And I think our flesh always does that.
All right.
Wherever we are in life, whatever amount of money we make, we're always going to find the closest road to comfort. But as a Christian man and woman and as a church, we have to battle against that.
Right.
We're not called to comfort. We're called to die.
Right.
We're called to die daily and lay down our lives for Christ. And that will always come with a cost.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah. So is there anything you want to say before we get into our next kind of segment of this?
No. I was going to say we could talk about, I know you have the outline there. I know we wanted to talk about kind of going to the mill and dismantling some of the things that we hear out there commonly, right?
Right. So yeah, we'll get into that. So that's going to be the thrust of this episode, is we'll just dismantle common pro-choice argumentation that we hear hundreds of times.
Oh, yeah.
All the times.
And I'm sure people that have even talked with their friends and, you know, pro-choice family members or worker, you know, work employees and stuff, co-workers, they've probably heard this too. And then you see it all over media, and these are just the common stupid, I'm sorry, we're going to use this word a lot, but really, really stupid, idiotic responses that, I mean, it really, they're really dumb.
Yeah, and that's and it's good. I mean, when you get on our show, of course, you're going to hear satire.
Yeah.
You're going to hear words like stupid.
Yeah. And serrated edge. Yeah.
Yeah. We're going to have that. So we have to employ the serrated edge.
Yeah.
We do it towards argumentation.
Yeah. Always. We're not saying that the people are stupid or dumb, because actually I think a lot of them are not, but their reasoning is stupid.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's okay to call it stupid.
Yeah.
See, what we can do is we can, I like what Pastor Matt Torella says. He says, you can walk and chew gum at the same time.
Right.
Meaning that we can tear apart, you know, Christ hating argumentation or illogical argumentation without tearing apart a person.
Yeah.
Now you can go on YouTube, and I would encourage you to do this, and it's painful, but you can look up all sorts of street evangelism where you have men out there who have a lot of zeal without knowledge. And I look at these men and I pray for them. I mean, it's cringy to watch them evangelize. And I know I'm painting with a broad brush here, but what I see them do is they go to events, and I was actually victim to one of these guys.
Oh, really?
At one time. Yeah. So I think it was First Fridays, and they were out there and they were just yelling like homo, you homosexual, you homo, you know, really derogatory terms. A guy looked at me and said, you masturbator.
What the? Like,
right. So he wasn't explaining the gospel.
No.
Right. And it, you know, as we go out there, it's the law and the gospel. So you talk about sin and you explain what sin is. And of course, homosexuality and sexual sin are sin.
Yeah.
But they have to be in context.
Right.
You know, he wasn't attacking argumentation or sharing the gospel in any type of balanced way.
Yeah.
It was just attacking the individual.
Right.
Which I don't believe we're called to do. I think that fits within the framework of Matthew 7, where it says, judge not lest you be judged. And we're going to talk about a little bit about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's in my mind when I was first saved, that was the caricature. What's that word?
Caricature.
Yeah. Thank you. Pregnancy brain. Of what evangelism was, is I had like the street screecher person in my mind. I'm like, I could never do that. Or like a Billy Graham or something at a big event. And that's what I thought evangelism was, you know?
No.
And so, yeah,
it's part of evangelism,
right.
And
because
the Bible does call us to go to proclaim, Matthew 16:15, who'll proclaim the gospel to all creation. Book of Acts, it says, what did they do? They went out proclaiming the gospel. So there were those specifically called, like myself and others, like Mike Ford and Stephen, and of course Pastor Jeff. You know, we go out there and we just herald the gospel.
Right.
That's a segment of the whole evangelistic strategy. People have different roles within the church.
Yeah.
But we just, getting back to what we'll do right now is kind of break apart this argumentation. Again, as you hear us, we would love you to challenge us if you think that we're tearing apart a person.
Yeah.
And I'll just have to tell you, it's hard, because even at the mill, I mean, it's a dark, wicked, horrible place.
Yeah.
you know, I like what Rusty Thomas, it's the gates of hell.
Right.
I think it's where Satan is effectively accomplishing what he wants to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's to steal, kill, and destroy. It's a dark, horrible place. You can get overcome just by the darkness out there.
Yeah.
And you can start to respond in the flesh.
Absolutely. But have you also encountered this to me is more surprising, and I didn't anticipate this before I ever did abortion mill ministry, but haven't you ever been out there and felt just joy? Not for being out there, not because of what's happening, you hate going, but because God empowers his people to go out and be obedient, and the Lord's with you. You have the Holy Spirit with you. And so you're there, and even though it's horrible, there's a joy in you in serving Christ.
Yeah.
You know, it's a weird feeling.
It's a balance.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it says that Jesus was anointed with joy.
Right.
But it also says he was a man of sorrows.
Right.
Right. So it's a complex kind of complexity of emotions. I think when you talk about somebody who's joyful out at the abortion mill, I think the most exemplary guy is Cal Zastro.
I was just going to say.
And I just saw him in Oklahoma. It's just so amazing to see that brother. I've never seen him upset or mad. But he has this boldness, especially as he goes out there and he's rebuking law enforcement and engaging with pro-aborts. But he's got that joy. And we have to have that. I think what we've seen through the years as we've been in this is that hate does not equal longevity mm-hmm. in whatever you aspire to do.
Yeah.
So we see pro-aborts go out there, and sadly, we see them transform.
Right.
You know, because the gospel, what does it do? It softens the heart of God's people unto salvation. But somebody who spurns it and rejects it, it hardens them.
Yeah.
And we see this transformational hardening going on at the mill with the pro-aborts and the death squirts. One is because hate is driving them. It's not love. You know, so many of them, and I don't want to get too far off in a bunny trail right here, but so many of them, they're trying to deal with the guilt of their own child murder by going out there and linking arms with other child murderers as if that's going to assuage the guilt.
Right.
It's misery loves company.
Yeah, I mean, in my 5 years of doing it, I would say 9 out of 10 are, you know, post-abortive.
I would say most and I even call them out on it. Did you murder your child? I did. Or they don't want to say it, which is pretty amazing that they don't want to reveal something that they're supportive
that they're saying is healthcare. Why would you not want to reveal?
Exactly. But it goes to show you again that they are ashamed of it, that there is true regret and true guilt.
I think the other thing too, back to going the joy part, is like I see myself in them. Like I go, well, those were the things that I was saying. I'm not post-abortive, but the same argumentation that's being used, it was the same. I mean, literally some of the same things that they say, I would say as a defense. So part of the joy is knowing that God saved me even though I didn't deserve it, you know, and just that realization. Like even Don, my husband, we'll say after going to the mill, he'll be like, man, it was hard, but man, I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful that the Lord gave me time to do that and that he saved me and uses somebody like me that doesn't deserve it to go tell other people about him. Like,
yeah, exactly.
It's pretty amazing when you think about that, you know?
Yeah, I think you're touching on a good point. And what I was saying is we see the pro-aborts come and they're driven by justification by works, trying to deal with their own guilt and shame centered around their own abortions by raging against God as if the blood of babies was going to assuage their guilt. It's the blood of Jesus and only his blood that will assuage and free them from their guilt. But they don't usually last.
Yeah.
Right. There's a couple, and we've seen in the more that they stay in that as they defend child murder, the more hardened, wicked, we can name some names right now of individuals who we know who are still doing it, who are completely transformed individuals. But getting back to what you say, I think we have to be motivated by love.
And knowing that it's only by grace that we're not standing on the other side next to them, because we would have been, you know?
Exactly.
So.
Right. We want to be joyful. And when I pray for guys as they go up to, you know, preach the gospel or plead to mothers, I always say, Lord, help them to enjoy the worship of you out here.
Right.
Because ultimately, why are we there? Because we love Christ.
Right.
We love Christ and we love our neighbor. That's if we can center our efforts and our motive can be not for you know, the praises of men, right, which Christians will get tempted into. Mm-hmm. But we're actually out there in obedience to God's commands as a form of loving him. Jesus even said, if you would love me, you will obey my commands. Mm-hmm. If we can really go into this and maintain a love for God and a love for neighbor and a love for the pro boards, we will have longevity, right, in our ministry. If it's built on any other motive, you will fade quickly, right, in your fight. That's just so important to tell you guys as you listen to that. We hope that many would become provoked through our podcast to get out and to adopt a mill and start rescuing babies. And it's got to be built upon love.
That's right.
Right.
Have you ever in your, how long, you've been doing it for longer than me, 6-7 years, right?
Yeah, it was 2012. I mm-hmm. think was when I first initially began to be educated about it. So 8 years or
yeah.
so. Yeah.
Have you ever heard anything just like, I know we're going to talk about the normal stuff we hear, but like, have you ever been out and heard something super crazy or funny?
Yeah. I mean, you're out there for so long. It's hard to
remember.
It's hard to remember.
I'll tell you one thing that I remember. I was in San Diego and it was hot that day. Not hot like here, not hot like Phoenix, but I was standing out with a really bold Christian. Her name's Hannah, and we had been out for a couple hours, and the location of the Planned Parenthood downtown is on 1st and Grape.
Yeah, right.
And how it works is, you know, you've been there, but for the people that haven't, it's on a corner, basically, and so where you would stand with signs on the sidewalk, there's a stop sign. And so you've got people stopping, you've got a lot of foot traffic, people walking by. So it was a really fruitful place to witness and to go, try to plead for their lives.
Logistically, it was set up perfectly.
Right.
For it, yeah.
Just got a lot of conversation, but I remember it was the end of the day, and we were just tired, and had a lot of people yelling at us and stuff, and this one guy pulls up and he's honking and he's just red faced, sweating, like so angry that like, I'm like, what is he gonna do? You know, I'm just kind of staring at him, and he pulls up, he's like flipping us off, and he pulls up and he's like looking at us and he's gonna say something. I'm like, what's gonna come out? It's gonna be bad. And he's so mad that he doesn't know what to say, but instead he just barks like a chihuahua.
No way.
I swear. It was like he was so mad that he didn't even have the words. Only the sound of a chihuahua barking came out of his mouth. We just were like, what in the world?
Yeah, you see a lot of crazy stuff. Yeah. I mean, the funniest things for me is when, you know, you're sitting on the side of the road and you're holding a sign, and then you see an elderly granny, elderly woman, she's driving down the street, and then she just flips you the bird. Like, the funniest for me are like 100-year-old women just mm-hmm. flipping you the bird so like stridently. Yeah. It's pretty hilarious. Yeah, just crazy stuff. Close calls out there. One time a guy was on Tempe. Sometimes they drive 70, 80, 90 miles an hour. I've seen them drive like 100 down there. I'm like, oh man, if we get hit, we're dead. But some guy was driving, and he was probably driving about 90, and he threw his water bottle out at me. Uh-huh. And of course, that water bottle was going 90 miles an hour. It's going to be going the same.
Right.
And it was like headed right for, you know, the family jewels.
Oh my gosh.
I just, thankfully, the Lord, I just moved, because that was a water bottle rocket.
It'd be
right
like a
out.
Rock at you.
Yeah. Yeah, that was crazy. But yeah, there's, I mean, if I sit here and jog my memory, I don't know, sometimes you think, and I'm like, man, I feel like I'm drawing blanks here, but it's almost like because of the, you know, the darkness of the mill, sometimes you just kind of suppress those memories or shelve them just because it's so kind of wicked out there.
Right.
Yeah.
So when you're out there, maybe we could talk about now about just some of the common things we hear. So I'm going to ask you something, you know, that I hear a lot and have you answer. So here's something we hear. Let's see. Why are you out here? How many babies have you adopted?
Yeah. Okay. So that's common. Mm-hmm. You know, if you haven't adopted babies, or if you don't have the ability to mm-hmm. adopt the babies, then you have no right to go into rescue a baby from murder.
Right.
It just doesn't work logically. I mean, just because a person doesn't, and here's the thing, Christians do adopt babies. I mean, if you look at it statistically, we are the ones that are taking care of the world. Right. We've been doing it for thousands of years. Right. We are. We are the ones that are giving. We are the ones that are going and helping out the guy at this on the side of the road. We're the Good Samaritans.
Right.
So we are. So it falls on its face right there.
Right.
But to say, because you don't have the ability to help out everyone, therefore you can't help out someone, is a ludicrous statement.
And it works in no other venue.
It doesn't. Okay, say you're walking down the street and you football field away, there's a toddler about to run in front of a car, and you just bolt over there and you are about to push this toddler. You're going to rescue a child, right? And somebody gets right in your way and says, "Hey, are you taking care of all the other toddlers?"
Yeah. You'd be like, "You're a psychopath."
Right. Right. It's a stupid and it's a again, argumentation or an argument that lacks total logic whatsoever. And that's what you have to know as you go out there. You don't have to worry about pro-choice argumentation. You don't have to worry about any antichrist argumentation because there's no logic. There's no base for it. It's completely baseless argument that only is there to neutralize you to get you away from the task.
Right.
So that's one of the things I want to encourage you as you're out at the mill and you're dealing with argumentation. Don't let them so distract you that you get your mind off. It's all distractionary.
Yeah.
Your goal out there is to preach the gospel, to pray, and to rescue babies. And you don't have to be, you know, wringing out your hands as if you're going to be caught flat-footed in some pro-choice debate. Typically, what they'll do is if you respond logically, theologically, whatever it may be, they will just red herring you. They'll move on to the next. Yeah. And so what I would encourage you is to hold them. Cy is so good at that. Cy Tenbruggen Gage, so good. So is Jeff.
Yeah.
And I was just listening to him right as I was driving over here. He says, "Okay, now you're moving on to something else." So as to point out the obvious.
Right.
But it's lacking any type of argumentation that would tell you that it's okay at all to kill a baby is not logical. Yeah. So when it comes to, okay, you have to take care of all of the kids in order to take care of any.
Right. Or like, how about this? Does it work with like doing something else to help people? Let's say feeding homeless people. Like maybe you have the resources to go and help some homeless people have something to eat that night. Can you imagine if somebody came up to you and said, "Wait a minute, how many homeless people have you taken into your house today?" "None." "Well, how dare you feed them?" I mean, that would be insane.
It'd be insane.
It'd be absolutely insane. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's a crazy one. Okay, yeah. I got another one. This one actually makes me laugh, and I don't mean to laugh, but it's entertaining to me. But it's like, you say you're against murder, but I bet you eat meat. And I'm always like, okay, animals are not image of God. So yeah,
that's basically it. And again, it's all distractionary.
Yeah.
How dare you? It's you're being called a hypocrite. And just going back to your first question, you're a hypocrite because you don't take care of all of, you don't adopt every baby. So therefore you cannot try to rescue a baby heading into death.
Right. And actually I would say we're in agreement. The adoption and foster care system in America needs to be reformed. Like it's a bad system. We've personally been through it trying to adopt when we lived in San Diego, and sadly, it's much easier to get an abortion and less expensive than to adopt a child. So I believe full-heartedly that, yeah, it does need to be reformed. And yeah, we as Christians need to step up more and bring in the fatherless. But that doesn't mean that even if we can't, those of us who don't have the resources, that doesn't mean we can't speak up against abortion. That doesn't mean we can't try to plead for the lives of...
You can walk and chew gum at the
same
time.
That's right. Yeah. Right. So...
Because you'll get people out there, "Hey, what are you doing about the IVF places where, you know, children are cryogenically kept and orphaned?" And you can only be at one place at one time. But it gets back to the urgency of the matter, right? Well, why aren't you feeding the homeless, or why aren't you helping the kids that are alive?
Right.
Well, it's because, you know, if we're going out to help the kids that were alive... Mm-hmm. We're going to go out, feed them, adopt them, whatever it may be, care for their needs. And then we got the news that some guy was killing babies. We would redirect our efforts to the most urgent situation.
Right.
And that's why just the urgency of abortion answers so much of that argumentation. Yeah. Maybe I'll ask you one.
Okay.
How many times have you heard this? You're not supposed to be judging us.
Yeah, a lot. I mean,
so there it is. You're out there and you're trying to say babies, but how dare you? Although, because you're not supposed to be judging anybody.
Well, yeah, and the hardest for me personally is when it's coming from a professing Christian who comes out and goes, look, I'm a Christian, but what you're doing is wrong. How dare you judge these people? You know, you need to come and be loving to them. And so it's just a perversion of scripture. It's a twisting of scripture. Right. Yeah. It's frustrating because you're like, okay, first of all, what are you doing to save these children? And of course, we need to be doing it in love. I'm not saying we should be out there being hateful. I personally have maybe once or twice been out there when somebody was going over, you know, the line and being unloving. But other than that, in the 5 years I've been doing it, I've never heard people be unloving. They're only being loving.
Yeah, because loving people is not some wishy-washy, you know, emotion-laden actions. It's telling them the truth.
Right.
So we love people at the highest level by telling them the truth that they need to hear, because truth is what we need the most.
Right. Yeah. And so they take this, like I had in my mind, this image of somebody that's like a street screecher, and you just apply it to that Christian, even though they're doing the obedient thing, and you're like, well, you're being unloving. And you're like, have you even sat here and listened to what I'm saying? I'm offering these women alternatives. I'm telling them I'll adopt their child. We're offering everything we can that doesn't include murdering their child, and yet we're being unloving. So, and it's just like, it's just so frustrating. But at the same time, we have to be patient with them as well. So what would you say as a pastor when somebody says, well, Jesus says, judge not?
Yeah, Matthew 7, 1. So we hear that, I don't know, hundreds, if not thousands of times. Just at not only the abortion clinic, but you're out there preaching at pride events or whatever it may be, and you're going to get Christians coming up saying, well, you're judging people. Well, they're judging me. A judgment is making, you're making an educated assessment of something, right? And so by saying, how dare you judge someone, you've just judged somebody, you know. I think what's crazy too is people who are not Christians, now they use biblical authority to prove their truth claim about you. So people who reject the Bible as God's word will quote the Bible to prove their point. So now they go from an atheistic worldview or platform to a Christian worldview in order to prove their point. Right. And I typically say, oh, you believe the Bible's true. You're using it as your authority.
Yeah.
But here's the thing with the whole judgment. And like you just said, it's a perversion of scripture, or they're not interpreting scripture, especially Matthew 7, the way it should be. We are commanded to judge.
Yeah.
If God said you shall not make judgments, it'd be a chaotic world.
Right.
We make judgments all the time about whether or not to pull out into traffic because a car is too close.
Mm-hmm.
We make judgments to eat at a certain restaurant because they might not, you know, we might get sick.
Yeah.
You know, we're making judgments right now about what we're going to, the next thing we're about to say.
Yeah.
So we do make judgments. What Jesus is saying there is you don't make judgment based upon a wrong authority.
Mm-hmm.
So what did he say within the context there? He said, hey, you know, make sure you get the plank out of your own eye before you get the speck out. Mm-hmm. Is because when we use a wrong source of authority to make our judgments, then it skews our perspective, right? It dramatically affects how you view life. And you can see that, you know, all around us, especially in the pro-abortion movement, when you're not making your judgments based upon the right standard. Okay, so let me simplify it. When Jesus is telling the Pharisees and the Sadducees within the context of Matthew chapter 7, judge not lest you be judged, they were not making their judgments based upon the word and law of God. Of course, they introduced all sorts of man-created laws within that judgment. And so they were judging from a self-righteous perspective.
Right.
Their authority was themselves. It was a self-righteous perspective by which they were making their judgments. So ultimately, what we can do is what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10:24. Sorry, John 10:24. Jesus says to make a right judgment, a good judgment. So that's a judgment with our feet firmly planted on God's word as the basis of the way that we judge something.
Mm-hmm.
So I am making this judgment towards you, not based upon my own biased opinion or my own subjective experiences. Right. We go out there and we say abortion is murder. You shall not murder. We are making a judgment on a person based upon their own decision making, mm-hmm. but standing firmly upon the word of God.
Right.
The Bible says the spiritual man judges all things.
Right.
So we are commanded to judge within the context of Matthew chapter 7. It's saying, don't judge self-righteously. Don't judge without your feet being firmly planted upon the authority of God's word. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. I got a couple. I don't know how long. What time do we start, Dana?
I don't know. Carmen, how long?
All right. So just maybe a couple more before we wrap things up.
Yeah.
You're not a woman. Therefore, you have no right or authority to say anything.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, you are a woman. But I'll see if you can answer this one.
Yeah.
So men have no right whatsoever to be out in front of the mills, to even speak with any type of authority or credibility, because we don't have the body, we don't have the anatomy of a woman.
It's usually more crass than that.
Yeah.
So, but exactly. Just another dumb argument. It's like, where else does that apply? You know, I'm not a child, but I can tell you that child abuse is wrong. Yeah. It's harming another person. You know, I'm a white woman, but I can tell you that slavery is wrong to anybody. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just, we don't see that argumentation anywhere else. But all of a sudden, because you don't have a female anatomy, you know, you're not able to speak into the oppression of another people group.
Yeah.
It's crazy. It's like, okay, well, I mean, I could list off a million things right now that come to mind, but it's just absurd. No, this person is made in the image of God. I'm called to love my neighbor as myself. And I sure hope if I was being torn apart, somebody, male or female, would come try to rescue me.
Right.
So
it'd be like pretty simple. Right. It's very simple.
Yeah.
Again, and that's the best thing about this type of argumentation. And it doesn't take a super brain
right.
to figure these things out. It's basic logic.
Yeah.
But it'd be like, you know, what if the Allied forces stormed the beaches of Normandy, mm-hmm. and they're about to go, you know, take Hitler out, and the Germans are like, wait a second, you guys aren't Jews.
Yeah.
So if you're not a Jew, therefore you have no authority whatsoever to be coming to the rescue of other Jews.
Right.
Right.
It's just crazy.
It's just absolutely stupid. But the left have killed themselves in this argument anyway.
Yeah.
Because what are they saying? They said your gender is not necessarily based upon bodily anatomy.
Yeah.
You know, your genitals don't define your gender. So they've killed themselves anyway.
Right.
And so what you do is usually say, well, how dare you assume my gender?
Yeah.
So I'm out there. We were just out there on Tuesday.
Yeah.
What, 2 days yesterday?
Yeah.
Hey, you're not you're a man, therefore go home. It's like, mm-hmm. how dare you assume my gender? They've already kicked themselves in the butt before they even, you know.
True that.
Right.
Here I have one. That's another one that's kind of funny to me. So we hear this a lot, but a lot of time it's from the death squads that spend a lot of time out there. I mean, they really dedicate. They get up in the morning and they're like, this is my plan today. I'm going to go and stand outside of Planned Parenthood and I'm going to escort women to go kill their babies. But they'll come up to us and say, get a life. Why don't you get a life and go do something good with your life? You know, you're like, wait a minute. First of all, you're here. And second of all, I do have a life, but Jesus calls me to die and not be comfortable, like you were saying earlier. And children are dying. I do have a life. I'd like to go and be with my husband and my kids or my, you know, go on a walk. I don't know. There's about a million other things I'd like to do other than standing out at the abortion mill. But unfortunately, this is the culture we're living in and children are actively dying every day. So if I come out for a couple hours here and there, it should be more. I would like to come out more, but it's never a waste of time to go and try to help somebody.
Yeah, we get that all the time. Get a job.
Yeah.
Get a job. What are you guys doing out here doing work? We're like, yeah, actually we do work.
Yeah.
Going back real quick to the anatomy one, you got to be a woman in order to say anything about abortion. So why do men come out there? Because men protect women and protect children. That's why we're out there.
Yeah.
And I love what Jason Storms just said in Oklahoma. He said men didn't start abortion through Roe v. Wade. We know that there was males who did,
mm-hmm.
but they weren't men, right?
Oh, right.
But men will end it.
Yeah.
So he says men didn't start this great atrocity because they weren't acting, they were not acting as men.
Yeah.
But men are going to end it.
Right? Yeah.
So that's why we're out there, is because we love women and we know that abortion destroys their lives as well. More importantly, is the lives of their offspring.
Right. And those seven Supreme Court justices were all male, which is funny because it's like, okay, well, they're the ones who voted Roe v. Wade. So it works that way. So why did they have an opinion then if males can't speak into this area?
Right. That's insane. It's insane. Again, it's insane, dumb.
Yeah.
Stupid argumentation.
That to me, I mean, we can go on a bunny trail on this too, but it's like, who does abortion benefit when you're really thinking about it? You're talking about feminism and all this that rise up out of abortion. I mean, we could talk for hours on this, but it's like, okay, if I was a male that wanted no responsibility, right? I wanted to go and have sex with whoever I wanted to, whenever I wanted to. And maybe I even wanted to rape women. Abuse, oppress, whatever.
Objectify.
Yeah. Don't you think abortion, having easy abortion access would be a convenience for me?
Yeah. The guys could just, you know, use women as just objects of sexual pleasure.
Yeah.
And they don't have to stick around and support them and the child. They can just discard their responsibility in the trash, the medical waste bin. So that's what
we see over and over. It's the attempt to cover up sin, keep on sinning.
It is. It really is. When it comes to get a job, people are dying. Oh, you know, I think the coolest thing that somebody said that's kind of related to this is they told me, they said, why don't you go do something more important with your life? Somebody very calm, you know, why don't you go do something, make this world a more beautiful place? Mm-hmm. And I said, well, you know, every baby that's born into this world makes this world a more beautiful place, right? Amen. This is a worthwhile endeavor. These are people dying. Of course, you know, if we were to go back 150 years, you know, we would be all about trying to help our African-American brothers and sisters. That would be our predominant activity, our focus, to put that great evil to death.
Right.
You know, mid-20th century Germany, of course, we're there with Schindler. We're going to do everything that we can to help the Jews. There's just something that, you know, of course, as the history of events is laid out, this great wickedness, and Jeff and I were just talking about this, it calls us to action. It calls us to sacrifice. And that's why we went to SB 13, because we are at a place right now to where babies are dying and we have to lay down our lives. And it's worth losing money. It's worth losing life and limb. We're, each one of us are ready to die for this cause, because it's that serious and it's that urgent. So we're going to do it until we die. Hopefully it's over before we die, but
I know. Well, either on this side of eternity or the next, we were watching the Super Bowl, and at the end, you know, all the confetti coming down and everybody freaking out, and we just saw the tail end of it. But I turned to Dawn and I said, can you imagine the celebration when abortions ended?
Well, we were just talking about that. I'm like, I think I'd cry for a month.
I'm crying just thinking about it right now.
Yeah, I know. I don't even know how I'd be able to even move.
I mean,
you know, that's what I was trying to get to before, is like hearing that. I don't know where we're gonna be.
Yeah.
And I'm praying it's gonna be in our lifetime, but we're just gonna fight.
Yeah.
And fight and fight and fight, regardless of really the results. But I couldn't imagine that day when you're like, it's over.
I know.
We're gonna party for just like a month. Cry and party.
Yeah.
And then sleep and cry and party. But yeah, it's gonna be, I'm hoping we get to move on to another issue. But you know, that is one of the thrusts, and I think we're going to close it out because we actually got to get over to the Trump rally right now.
The Trump rally should be fun. Pray for us, because, well, by the time you hear this, it'll be done. But because it's not just Trump supporters, but it's going to be anti-Trump supporters. So just a big group. We like to go where there's a lot of fish, right? A lot of good conversation. People are passionate about things, so it should be fertile grounds for good conversation.
And so, and also pray for Kristen. She's in Australia, and we care about her.
Mm-hmm.
And she's going to come on the show next time.
Yeah.
And just pray for us that we would treat her with love and respect, and it would just be good, meaningful conversation, and we would do our duties to get her the gospel.
Yeah.
So.
And wherever you are today listening, we're praying that you would share the gospel with somebody in your life, that the Lord would give you boldness and grace and clarity to speak into the lives of those around you. So
that's it. That's what we're here for. Again, We're not here for our glory. I mean, this is tough for us to do. I think doing stuff like this, especially for me, is way out of my comfort zone. I like being the kind of the behind the scenes type of guy. So this is tough, but we don't do it for any accolades or praise. We do it to be helpful to the church, to equip our brothers and sisters, to come alongside of them and spurn them to action, to stir them up to action. So we would say, as you go about your week, go preach the gospel, go share the gospel, go
try to save babies
and tear down idols. Yep. Yeah. We love you. We'll see you next time.
Bye.